This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and the Tin Society. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Very good evening to you, sir. How are you doing tonight?
You know, I'm good. I'm good. This is a very English episode, you know? Yeah.
It's going to be good.
Just the whole pre-show with you and your British shtick, you know? It's great. I'm smoking my Sheraton that was actually a wedding gift from all our pipe-smoking friends in Texas and beautiful Lane era Sheraton. Smoking an English blend. And, of course, we're going to talk about English blends later tonight. And, you know, it's a good time to be... You know, good time to talk about the motherland. Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff.
Oh, that's great, man. That's great. No, it's going to be a fun show tonight. Man, how are you doing? You doing okay?
I am great. You know, I'm really great. This is such a fun season. If you are a regular listener, follower of Country Squire Radio, you'll know the shop is in transition. John David Cole is in transition. We're just... so much going on. Just got back from Chicago not too long ago.
Yeah, man.
And, of course, just a lot of exciting things happening in the pipe industry. So, man, things are good. We're just rocking and rolling, baby. So, lots of new pipes here around the shop. If you're local, you'll have noticed that. And those are slowly going up on our website, although they haven't, the bulk of them have not made it yet. But, you know, we always, every week in, week out, we always talk about our Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club. And just as a reminder, kind of first housekeeping note, for Pipe Club members, if you are a Country Squire Radio Pipe Club member on Patreon, we have a sale going on right now.
Yeah!
For all the pipes that we purchased at Chicago. So we're slowly kind of updating that as people purchase pipes. Several of the higher-end pipes have moved. We've got folks looking at stuff like Briarworks and, you know, some American Carvers and things of that nature. So really, really excited about that. Glad we could offer that. But anyway, check that out. We'll mention that again when we talk about the Pipe Club.
Yeah, man. You hit them with this out of the gate. Like, it was all of a sudden, like, well, what's this? It's almost as if being a Pipe Club member has kind of all these benefits that kind of sprinkle in from time to time.
We just want to you know, share our love a little bit and tell all the folks how much we appreciate them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So check that out. And that how long is that going on till?
Through the end of this month. Yeah. Through the end of May.
So never been a better time to become a club member. And hey, we've actually got a new club member.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, man.
That's great.
Joining us at the Squire level, we've got Carter M. Sland. And I may have actually pronounced that correctly.
But I think you actually nailed it.
Imsland? Yeah. Imsland.
It's probably Carter Imsland. Yeah.
Imsland.
But you know,
I'm S.
But we're in the South, so we kind of have license to butcher everything and get away with it because people feel bad for
it's
us.
It's one of those perks of being a club member.
No, that's right. It's that we butcher your name.
We need
right.
to make T-shirts. I had my name butchered on Country Squire Radio, and
we should.
A T-shirt.
We should.
That needs to be a thing.
So, man, Carter, thanks for hopping on. We got a patron tonight too, right?
That's right, man. We got Mike Dayton, who's also supporting us through Patreon. So thank y'all so much for supporting the show. And hey, if you want to as well, patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio is a place to do it, or Country Squire Radio.com, which is no longer virally infected. And so, I'm telling you.
Boy, look, you can take that in a multitude of ways. Wow.
Can I just share something with you?
No, we're amongst friends.
Okay.
You, me, and about 5,000 other people.
Man,
yeah, go ahead.
Look, viruses are like the computer viral stuff is bad. Yeah, I know that's a very, you know, broad, very specific statement. But like, you
need
know,
to use protection, you know.
Oh, you really do.
That's important.
No, it really is because like, all right, so a couple of months ago, we, you know, my company Podasteri got like attacked by all of these viruses and malware and everything else to the point where our hosting client actually like suspended us like for being in violation because of all of the viruses, not from anything we did, but just from the fact that we got attacked.
It was almost like they put you in quarantine. Or
man,
something.
They really did. And so we've been going through the extremely tedious process of trying to get our content off of the old hosting client to put it onto this new one. And it has just been like the worst. Every single time I think we're done, we just got a little bit more left. So shout out, by the way, to you know, very good friend of the show, Briar Bowser,
who has
been hooking me up and helping me on a weekly and sometimes daily basis through this process. It's been rough, but fortunately it has been a minimal impact to Country Squire Radio listeners. Those of you who are listening to the show, you've been getting all the great stuff, but for patrons specifically, those of you who are looking for our archived feed, that is temporarily unavailable until I can find a new hosting client to put it on.
Yeah, so it's coming back. Don't think you've lost that feature or that's something that you you know, won't have access to again. That's on its way back. We're just kind of working through the logistics of that. And when I say we, I mean Bo, and completely Bo. And I just sit here and, on Monday nights and smoke my pipe.
No, it's all good. Yeah, but that is, I mean, that is almost 100 hours worth of embarrassment of me and John David that we really want to gift to you. So to those of you who are supporting us. So anyway,
if you're going to support us, we deserve that. Well, like you deserve the right to hold that over our heads for all time.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. So I do want to ask you about this, and it's kind of a weird given the nature of the topic of the episode.
Yeah,
it seems like a weird thing to ask you. But so you know, I've been dealing with this stuff at work and everything, and you know, it's almost done, and man, it couldn't come at a better time to be done, because next week we won't have a live show. Because I will actually be on vacation. Now, of course, we will have a podcast. So those of you who are thinking, wait, what about the podcast? We got a podcast coming your way. Hopefully a very special interview, which you'll find out about next week.
That's right.
But no, I'll be out at the beach.
That's great, man.
Yeah, we started this tradition last year with the fam, and it's a blast. But man, I am like in beach mode and have been kind of slowly progressing to it, to the point now where I'm like, I got to get my Panama Jack.
We've talked about that and just the appropriateness of certain tobaccos for the beach. And of course, I think Panama Jack might be right up your alley.
Okay, so it's very aromatic, which again, ironic.
And there's several, right? So they've got the piña colada, the mango, the key lime pie, and all these various ones. I think you just kind of have to pick which one you fit. Yeah, I mean, are you feeling like a piña colada? Are you feeling like more fruity, fruit forward drink? I mean, where are you lying on that spectrum?
All right, so this is
do you just want to get completely toasted? Is that where you're at?
Well, you know, the kids will be there, but like that's the thing. So in my head, for a full week, while the kids are playing in the sand and you know, my wife is watching the kids, and I'll be helping, of course, as well. But I just envision me under the canopy,
right,
in a laid back chair with my cooler next to me, filled with various beverages. The pina colada will definitely be there, rum and various mixtures.
Yeah, I'm gonna recommend the Panama Jack pina colada.
You would recommend that?
I would. Yeah, okay. I think it's not as fruit forward as some of those other ones, and it's one of those things that you'll be able to match, I think, with a bunch of your different beverage preferences.
Okay.
It's probably a good like early summertime tobacco, I would say.
Because
it's something you're not going to get sick of all the time. You know, if you're just sitting there puffing mango tobacco constantly, it's good for a couple of smokes, but then you're like, well, I don't know, I kind of, you know, feel like I need to go eat a steak or something. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. All of those kind of flavors on the profile, like. You know, mango, I like mango, literally the fruit mango, but I almost hate everything else that is, quote, mango flavored. And pina colada, the only reason I like pina colada is because it's coconut juice and not like coconut as in like...
It was
like,
so delicious.
You know, like coconut shavings and coconut cake and carrot cake? I don't like that kind of like flavor texture.
Really?
Yeah, but I like the coconut like
juice.
You
like juice. The milk or whatever, but not the actual coconut itself. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'd like pina colada. Pina colada?
I think so.
All right.
Yeah, if I were going to recommend you get one of those tobaccos, I would point you to that one.
That's what I'm picking up.
And of course, if you're a longtime listener of Country Squire Radio, we have a whole episode on smoking your pipe at the beach, and so maybe check that out.
I know, unfortunately, because I wanted to suggest that for this week, but then I was like, wow, we did this a year ago, right before I went to the beach last time.
Right, exactly.
And at the end of the day, doesn't this show just exist so that you can educate me personally for 4 to 5 years in on how to smoke my pipe?
No, that's right. That's right. I mean, you know, everyone's you're the useful guy.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Just kidding.
Well, man, we do have a great episode and something that is, a fun topic and one that is oft asked. You could almost really kind of consider this to some extent a pipe smoking 101, except this is kind of a deep dive into the subject. We're talking about English blends and specifically answering the question of, at the end of the day, what makes an English blend an English blend?
Yeah, sure. Man, what great question. It's one of those that comes up very often, and some confusion exists around it. You know, it's where seasoned pipe smokers, new pipe smokers, it's like they get all these terms and categories muddled, which is certainly understandable, because even the pipe experts get it muddled. You know, the people that wear the wear the crowns and the big you know, most important hats and everything at the
nerds.
Conventions. They're the ones that get it muddled too. And so yeah, it's funny, and it's definitely a topic worth visiting. And I believe recently this was actually recommended by a few folks, but I know our longtime listener, really good friend, Pappy Joe, has been you know, kind of asking us recently, like, man, this would be a good topic to cover because it's something that there is some confusion about, and how do English blends, you know, vary from other types of blends? Where does that come from? And so anyway, we have visited it briefly before, but we thought we'd talk about it again tonight. So English blend, let's talk about the origin of the term, right? So you know, why is it an English blend? Why isn't it a French blend or a German blend or a Scottish blend or a Mexican blend or whatever, you know?
Is there a Mexican blend?
There should be.
Huh.
And we need to work on that.
That needs to happen.
Yeah. We'll work on that.
We'll have to circle back on that one for
yeah,
sure.
We'll circle back on that one. So the term origin in itself, the, you know, English blend, where does that come from? Well, you know, in mid-century America, or mid-20th century America, you know, you had this concept of tobacco, and, you know, they were trying to differentiate in some sense between American tobaccos and tobaccos that came from other parts of the world. Of course, you know, tobacco wasn't as shipped as frequently as it is today, and so, you know, you can get tobacco from, you know, Japan or Malawi or wherever, you know, I mean, the stuff comes from all over, but generally in America, you know, tobaccos were available that were grown and made here, or that were processed and made in the United Kingdom. And so tobaccos from that part of the world, at the time, Great Britain actually had the tobacco purity laws, which was a concept introduced in the early 20th century. It's one of those things that the government was like, look, you can make tobacco here, you can process it, you can can it up and sell it, but we are not going to allow you to put certain toppings, flavorings, extracts in the tobacco. And so British tobacco wound up being tobacco that was completely 100% in most cases unflavored.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, I mean, like, I'm already hearing echoes of, like, you know,
sounds familiar.
Our friends in kind of like the distilling industry and kind of what makes, not even distilling, but just alcohol in general, like what makes champagne, what makes bourbon in terms of their historic area kind of control.
Yeah, no, right. We talk about, oh, well, you know, bourbon has to be grown in this county. Well, no, it doesn't, you know, but there's something behind that, right?
Exactly.
So let's kind of unpack that. So yeah, you had these purity laws in Great Britain surrounding tobacco, where the parliament, your government, you know, they said, look, you can't flavor tobaccos with this, you know, anything that's even natural flavorings, you know, most natural flavorings were prohibited. And so the tobacco really had to speak for itself, which is really, really interesting. And, you know, it's funny. I was talking with someone over the past couple of weeks about this. You know, people hate on aromatic tobacco so much, but, man, humans have been flavoring things for millennia.
Yeah.
You know, like, you got to think about that. I mean, going back to, you know, ancient Egypt, I mean, we've constantly been looking for ways to improve the taste or magnify certain flavors that might be there but need enhancement. I mean, we've been flavoring stuff for a long time.
That's a
great
point. That is a sign of civilization.
You don't make a cake that tastes like flour.
No.
No, you make a cake that tastes like delicious, sweet, you know, nectar from the Lord.
And it's like you think about, like, you know, the first guy that, you know, ate a potato, and obviously, you know, problems. Why on earth would you dig up something brown out of the ground and just take a bite out of it and think, oh, this is food? but he did, and then he shared it with people, and they started doing it, and then everybody's just cooking, you know, cooking up this potato and eating it, and then somebody comes along like, hey, you tried kind of mixing it with some salt, and they're like, well, what's salt? And then he explains what salt is. I don't know what salt is, but he explains it. They put it in there like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Well, that's pretty good.
But then some people are going to be like, that's not the way that potatoes are supposed to be eaten.
Right, well,
This is the very snobbish caveman voice that I...
Right.
Ugh, zug, zug, that's not how they're supposed to be eaten.
The caveman would have definitely...
Mm, yes.
Right, that is how the snobbish caveman would have sounded.
And later on, they would go to make Geico commercials.
Right. That's correct, mm-hmm. With lizards. Yeah, so you had these tobacco laws that basically said you can't flavor anything or put anything in the tobacco. Now, there were some exceptions. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But the tobacco, for the most part, had to stand on its own. And in Great Britain, you know, they were used to using the most premium tobaccos. And so you had Virginia, Orientals, which in their mind always includes Latakia, and technically still does, and to some degree Perique. So, you know, what's interesting is you've got these English blenders. They can't flavor their tobacco in any way. And so, you know, they have to make the tobaccos stand out. They have to make the tobaccos, rise above the others, the competition. So how do they do that? Well, over the years, they start to experiment with different processing methods, different ways of combining leaves that maybe weren't, super popular, in the, let's say, 19th century, but, you know, by force of these laws kind of came to the forefront. So, wow, we don't have a lot of options here. Let's get really creative and try to make something different. So let's put a, you know, ton of this leaf in there. Let's mix that leaf with that leaf, even though that normally doesn't happen, kind of thing. And so that kind of, birthed a renaissance in some sense of flavor with English tobaccos, ooh, which at that point were just tobaccos that were made in England. So, now, as an aside, we talked about there were very limited things that folks could put, English blenders could put in a tobacco that was processed in England. And some of those things revolved around and included very trace amounts of essence from flowers. And so, you know, we always talk about the Lakeland style blends and those blends that come from Great Britain that have this kind of rose water, mm-hmm, floral note to it. And so they, you know, some of the great blending houses of the UK, they picked up on that and they realized, like, well, okay, this is at least one thing we can do to kind of differentiate our blend. And so they got to using these rose water kind of elements, the floral elements, botanical type elements that are so common from that Lakeland district in England. You think about Sam Gaywith and Gaywith and Hogarth, blenders like that. And after the tobacco purity laws were repealed in the late 80s, those blending houses actually stuck to that because they realized that there was a benefit there. So and that's where you get a lot of that that tradition in that part of the UK of blending with that, you know, particular flavor.
When you say essence of flowers, I mean, circa that area, did that just mean they were crumbling up flowers, or were they actually extracting flavor from the flowers?
They were extracting flavor from the flowers. Interesting. The same way they do it now. Yeah. So the flower. Now, I have smoked flowers. I have smoked tobacco with, like, rose petals in the actual leaf,
sure.
Which is strange. That actually came from blender Stephen Books, who passed away, I think, a year ago up in the Pacific Northwest.
And what kind of roses was Stephen using?
I don't know.
You don't know. You didn't take a look at it. I guess at that point they're kind of cooked. Were they white roses or the red roses? like, look, you know what I'm after.
Let's get down to the right brass tacks.
If we're going
to
talk English, let's talk about the rightful rulers of England.
I actually have no idea.
The pretender queen is on the throne. I'm
sure they were white roses. I'm sure they were white.
Yeah, they should have been.
So anyway, some of those limited flavorings did kind of stick with the great British tobacco houses and are still used today because they got really used to using that during the Prohibition era of flavoring there. So we're thinking about this. We talk about English blends through, obviously, American lenses, which most of our listeners are, though we are really pleased to have folks from all over the world. In America, or in England, you know, or the Great Britain during, the mid-20th century up until the late 80s, while this kind of, you know, convention was going on, these tobaccos were just known as tobacco. You know, you had tobacco, and then you had, flavored tobacco, which is not common in Great Britain. They couldn't even bring it in, so they just had tobacco. Well, on this side of the pond, whenever we imported tobacco from the UK, generally those tobaccos were completely unflavored, right? Because unless they had this like essence of rose water or something in there like that. And so American tobacco at the time, and still for the most part, is heavily burley based, and just traditionally how people blend. Now, this is not the case, to some degree anymore. But, you know, historically, American tobacco blenders have used lots of burley, lots of flavorings, lots of casings, you know, just to make things a little more interesting and less of the more sophisticated leaf, the leaf that's a little more expensive. You know, we think about the Orientals, Latakia, very delicate Virginias. Those are more historically associated with you know, blends that were found overseas. And so, you know, Americans mid-century, they started referring to these complex unflavored blends as English blends. Huh. So an English blend was simply an unflavored tobacco.
That's amazing. Yeah. You know, I just kind of picture just kind of this, you know, archetypical English versus American in the way they're producing, you know, the English being like, oh, yes, well, of course, we have to have this. And, oh, what's this? No flavor whatsoever. Just put it in its purest form. We can't have any flavor. I'm terribly sorry. But of course, if it's going to be pure, this is the way it's going to be. And this is going to be the English. Of course, it end up be flavor. And by the way, serve it at room temperature because it's tobacco. And just that's the way that we do everything else. And then the Americans are like, now here, see, this is what we're going to do now. We're going to get this burley here because it's nice and cheap. Now, people don't need to know that we're serving burley. We need to make this taste a little bit different. So,
and how do we make more people do it? We got to make it sweeter.
That's right. Give me the cheapest tobacco you got, and we'll just sprinkle a little bit of sugar on it, and be fine. But hey, children, hey, you ever had this right here? That's the American way.
It was like the best mid-Atlantic accent I've ever heard. Yeah, well done. Well, thank you. Well done. Very well done.
And for the record, if you were keeping score, Europeans in England, I made fun of the English accent, and then I made fun of the American accent.
No, you did. You did well.
Equal opportunity.
Equal time.
That's right.
Yeah. Man, yeah. So, you know, you had this concept of tobaccos that were unflavored and generally just kind of speaking for their own, being labeled as English-style tobaccos. And so that's where that came from. And today, you know, it's interesting. You know, we have we kind of separate things into two. We've got aromatic tobaccos, but then, and I'm guilty of this, I kind of refer to all the unflavored tobaccos as non-aromatic tobaccos. And you know, generally nowadays we refer to English blends as blends containing and focusing on Latakia. And so it's kind of interesting, you know, English blends 30 years ago, or maybe 40 years ago, probably would have referred to any tobacco that was not flavored. And matter of fact, I love it. If you look in these old books, I've actually got one here at the shop. This is All About Tobacco by Milton Sherman.
Wow.
Really cool old book. It's actually got
dude.
The
our, dude.
Yeah, I know. This was $5 back in you know, before dirt. let's see if I can see real quickly.
Is that
quickly.
An autographed copy?
Yeah, this was published in 1970. And this was this belonged to the founder of this shop, Jim
okay.
Reeves.
Yeah,
got
yeah.
his got his, where he wrote his name in here 45 years ago. But anyway,
what an artifact.
All About Tobacco by Milton Sherman. Great thing. If you can ever find a copy of this and you are a pipe enthusiast, I highly recommend it because it goes through you know, various types of tobacco processing in different countries, how leaves are cured, you know, the difference between American leaf and leaves from around the world, you know, how pipes are made, the different shapes. I mean, just on. Hmm. It's a really cool resource. Books are not made like this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, in our hobby, you know, area. So it's just a really cool book. But in here, you know, you find books from the mid to late 20th century, and books like this, they refer to English blends as unflavored blends. You know,
huh.
It's just
yeah.
unflavored tobacco. You know, generally they'll mention Latakia, but sometimes they won't. And so, you know, other books you might refer to, we've talked about The Gentle Art of Smoking by Alfred Dunhill. Books like that that, you know, I think are good resources for kind of seeing what the tobacco world was like, you know, 40, 50 years ago. But so anyway, you know, back then, English blends were just unflavored blends. Today, when we talk about English blends, we're talking generally about blends that feature, in some sense, Latakia. Now, how did that happen? You know, Latakia, of course, it's such a unique ingredient. It's got such a unique smell. You know, it's that smell that that you love and that you love the taste of, but that your wife or your girlfriend just despises. You know, it's that kind of thing. And maybe it's because it's so polarizing that we just kind of, you know, started terming English blends as ones that were, you know, focused on Latakia. Also, Latakia got really popular. You know, if you talk to blenders back in the 70s, and I'll never forget the first time I spoke with a blender that had been doing this for decades longer than I'd been doing it. And he was talking about the change in English blends over the decades. And he talked about how, you know, back in the 60s and the 70s, English blends were so delicate. You know, the max of Latakia you would ever put in an English blend would be, you know, maybe 15%, you know, 12 to 15%, something like that. And today we've got blends that purport to be English that are 40, 50, 60%. Percent Latakia, which are just like bombs, you know. And it was interesting talking to these kind of old salts about the industry and how they've changed, and how even the concept of the English blend has gotten, and just the concept of flavor too is gotten so extreme. You know, we don't want just a bold flavor. We want something that's going to knock you over, kind of thing. It's like you know, the delicate flavor days are kind of gone. It's more power, strength in your face. Like, what's going to be the extreme? And I think, you know, since we've gone down that road, English blends probably picked up on that to some degree. And regardless, you know, in general nowadays, most people will refer to aromatic tobaccos and non-aromatic tobaccos. That's what I do. I'm guilty of that. I'd be glad to revisit that if someone in the pipe industry would say this is how it's going to be. But, you know, pipe smokers are so, you know, cantankerous sometimes that we'll never do that. But yeah, if there were some convention, I'd love to revisit that. But right now there's, you know, you have aromatic tobaccos, non-aromatic tobaccos. And then within the non-aromatic tobaccos, you've got, you know, things like English blends. And then within English blends, you've got Balkan blends and Scottish style mixtures. And then you've got, of course, Virginias and Perriques and Virginia Burleys and everything else. It's just real fragmented. But English blends have come to, over time, be known as something that is Virginia based with a focus on Latakia, and the Latakia generally is somewhere between 5 and 20%. So that's kind of where we're at as far as just a typical English blend in today's world. So that's what you see mostly. Orientals can also be introduced. If they're introduced at very high doses with lots and lots of Latakia, we generally refer to that as a Balkan style blend. So very Latakia forward, lots of Oriental leaf. You know, typically, and there's disagreement on all this, as we can imagine, just because you know, pipe smokers like to divvy things up in different ways. But Scottish style mixtures tend to be Virginia mixed with Latakia and Orientals, but the Orientals kind of peak out a little more. And so you've got the Orientals kind of, in some sense, overshadowing some of the Latakia, which is lurking in the background a little bit. You know, other folks will say a Scottish style mixture is one that features Black Cavendish. And so you've got, you know, this Cavendish kind of lurking in there. I've never really used that definition, but you'll see folks use that. But, you know, the classic English blend is going to be that kind of 5 to 20% Latakia right in there, you know, where it's not overwhelmed. And really, when you go over that and start talking about the real powerful flavors, generally today, most people are going to refer to those as Balkan style blends, which are just, you know, have that kind of overwhelming, you know, Latakia, Oriental flavoring that is not just the center of it, but dominates the entire blend, you know, just not as much room for nuance anymore. So anyway, that's kind of the you know, background of that. You've got you know, blends that were, you know, made in America. We generally flavored our blends, and the English folks, they generally didn't. And so English blends just were kind of known as unflavored blends. And then eventually that evolved, morphed, whatever, into your typical unflavored or your English blend. And that's probably due to the fact that Latakia has become so popular. Yeah. And so you know, most of the time nowadays, you've got some old guard folks and folks that like the folks that wrote these books here that we talked about tonight, the All About Tobacco. Some of your old guard folks will refer to all unflavored tobaccos as English blends. And so, you know, if it's a Virginia Perique, that's an English blend. You know, if it's a Virginia and unflavored Burley with some Oriental, that's an English blend. You know, but on average, most people today refer to English blends as blends that feature Latakia. And I do that simply because of not of any stubbornness, but simply because it just seems to be the most commonly used way. So that's where we are.
You know, it really does come down to, you know, preference in terms of what you like, what you don't like. I was recently staying at a Airbnb in Memphis, it was actually a true Airbnb of somebody's house.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was there and I kind of opened up their fridge looking for a little evening beverage as I was, you know, instructed to help myself to whatever was there. And all I could see was flavored liquors, like flavored liqueurs and everything else. And for me, I like bourbon that tastes like bourbon. Like, I want my whiskey to taste like whiskey. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And so, like, I'm not a big fan of that. Now, flip it on over to the tobacco side. And while I definitely do appreciate a good English tobacco, look, I'm an American man that likes flavor. And so from that standpoint, that's, you know, and look, I've been to London. I've tasted your food. And that's all I'll say about that. No, I'm kidding. Fish and chips are delicious.
They are delicious.
I'm going to put that out there. But man, this is good, man.
So that's kind of where we're at. Yeah, you know, English blends, they, you know, typically nowadays we refer to those as blends that, you know, have that kind of percentage of Latakia there, and things that go over and above that, and things that feature other leaf that kind of comes in on the side, we call those different things. But generally, Latakia forward blends in that kind of 5 to 20% range. That's the modern English blend.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even if you could say go back in time and have that original just pure tobacco style flavor of English blends, like, you know, you talked about the complexity of just the pure taste without the kind of added seasoning or flavors or anything else. I mean, the only real way you can even tell that flavor profile of the true tobacco to get the complexity that exists in the core product itself is with a good, cool, cleaning smoke.
That's
that,
right.
Of course, you can find from pipes from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
No, that's right. That's right, man. Of course, each Missouri Meerschaum pipe is a cool, clean smoking pipe.
That's right.
You know, it's an inexpensive, affordable pipe and one that is accessible to so many people. You can find at your favorite tobacconist. Of course, tonight.
Well, hang on now. See, this is the great thing, right?
Because
this, you know, obviously, Missouri Meerschaum, you know, an American company, American corn cob pipes, American types of pipes. But we're talking English. We're talking pipes and pipe tobacco. You know, you think of like English British heroes like Sherlock Holmes, but we're pulling a 180 on you because tonight we're bringing an American hero into
this English
discussion.
Yes, sir. And this one is Tom Sawyer.
Ow!
Tom Sawyer, the Tom Sawyer pipe from Missouri Meerschaum. It's a nose warmer style pipe. It's a short stem with a nice black bit there at the end and a straight pipe. It's a small to medium sized bowl. It's on the smaller side. It's the cousin to the Huck Finn pipe, which is a longer stem variety that kind of
long novel.
Yeah, it kind of the Huck Finn, you know, in the Missouri Meerschaum lineup, it kind of reminds me of the Bing's Favorite or the Bing. The Tom Sawyer is kind of the shorter variety of that. Very clean line, smaller, more angular egg shaped bowl. Great tasting pipe. It's one of those that can fit easily in your pocket. It's not a tiny bowl, but it is a smaller bowl, and so it's a great 10 to 15 minute smoke. 10 to 20 minute smoke pipe, and just a great pipe to try new tobaccos out of. Perhaps your next English blend in your rotation.
No, you know, it's an American classic character representing an American style pipe from an American manufacturer. But hey, pack it with some English tobacco, if that English tobacco was also produced right here in America.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, smoke your Tom Sawyer today. If you've actually got one, be sure to tweet a picture of yourself. Smoking the Tom Sawyer. We'll retweet that out. It's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know we appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week comes in from Tim Hauser. All right, so here is the question. He says the Black XX was the worst I've ever had. What's a good rope to try? Talking about rope tobacco.
Yeah.
He says, I love many English blends and vapors. But I don't think vapors doesn't mean like vaping, right? That's a different thing.
No, we're talking about Virginia Perique. So he tried Black XX, which we've talked about before on the show. You know, that tobacco, it really does smell like death.
You know? Wait, was that the one that everybody was passing around that one time?
No. That's right.
Yeah, you know, you're like, take a whiff of this, and you're like, oh.
You smoke it, and you smell it, and you're just like, man, if you could make a tobacco smell like burnt hair, that would be Black XX. It's just not. Some people love it. I think they're sadists, but they love it. A good rope to try would be probably the brown number 4 from Sam Gaywith. It's a hard tobacco to find. We don't carry it as much as we used to because it's just really it's hard to locate. Most of the ropes that we get here at the Squire are of the flavored variety.
Yeah,
we carry
maple,
we carry,
whiskey.
That's right. They're Gaywith and Hogarth products. We carry the Gaywith sweet maple, the black cherry, and the sweet whiskey twist. And those are really pretty common to find. You can find some of the flavored varieties, but the unflavored ones you're going to have to dig for a little more. But I would recommend that Kendall brown number four from Sam Gaywith. Really good tobacco. Twists are their own thing. That's a fun tobacco to start learning about. You know, it's one of those that I think you should try at least at one point. If you have a tobacconist like us that will sell you an inch of it, like, you know, that we cut from a rope, that's great. If you order it in a tin, that's great. Try it when you can. You know, a lot of folks will use a cigar cutter to cut just a little sliver off and poke in their pipe. But anyway, it's a different experience for sure. Yeah. Black XX is terrible. it's bad. I mean, it really is bad.
I'm sure there's somebody out there that likes it.
Yeah.
You know, every tobacco is somebody's favorite tobacco.
Well, that's why there's chocolate and vanilla and arsenic.
That's why there's cherry.
Or cherry.
Look, a lot of people like the cherry. No, that's good. That's good. Actually, like, looking back, I still have yet to actually smoke a rope tobacco.
Yeah.
But that whiskey. Is it sweet whiskey?
What's it called? Sweet whiskey twist. Sweet That stuff is so strong it could choke a mule. It's really good, but it is strong. It's just loaded with nicotine.
Okay,
yeah, it's one of those that about a quarter of a bowl.
Like that cigar that one time.
Yeah, that cigar that one time smoked. That you had to go out back and hold your face in your hands.
That's not what happened. They're gonna believe that.
It
that's
was
not
exactly what happened.
Well, great pipe question of the week, Tim. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week to send to us, send it in. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Ow! All right, man, we got some quick fire questions in, brought to us by the Tin Society. More on that awesome service in just a minute.
Yes, indeed.
All right, so this is actually, all right, I think I actually said last week that we were going to take a break from Anonymous. And again, not the online hacktivist group. We're talking about Anonymous as in this person didn't want to be named.
He didn't want to be named, but he sent us a...
Or she.
He, Anonymous.
They.
They, as it were, sent us a boatload of quickfire questions.
Yeah. And this is what they said. He said, I was really inspired with how much fun you guys had with the, quote, working together questions. So here are a few more creative ones. The steak movie ones seem so dull now. No. Great. Or woman. Anonymous.
Anonymous, yeah. Whoever ye are.
All right, so here we go. Zombie apocalypse. That's the theme.
Oh, the theme.
The
okay.
theme. That's what we're looking
at. Okay, good.
Here.
All right.
And again, we got to work together.
Okay.
So we're working together in this situation.
Okay.
All right. Do we hunker down or do we keep moving?
Ooh, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's a zombie apocalypse. Do we hunker down or keep moving? I'm gonna hunker down.
Really?
I'm gonna hunker down.
Ah, you're just waiting. They you've seen the movies. They all like group up on where you are, and then like they mass overwhelm you by like busting through the windows and everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, and it's even no, even that, if that, we were like stocked true. To the brim with like
ammo and food. Like,
yeah,
and all
if
that
we
kind
had
of
like
stuff.
The redneck, you know, arsenal in
right,
here.
Right.
That's only gonna like take out so many zombies.
That only gets you so far.
Yeah, at some point you're gonna run out of ammo.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Go with what you know rather than what you don't know.
All right. I don't think we can work together on this one.
Yeah, we might not.
We're going to die. What's the Rick and Morty? I believe that if you stay here, you might survive. And I believe if I leave, that I might survive.
Right,
something
right.
Like that. Yeah. All right, weapons. Do we use firearms or melee?
I think a firearm.
Oh, can we go both? A firearm can be both. Because you can like,
no,
boom,
that's true.
Boom, boom. And then when you run out, then you can like, if it's
use
like
it
a
as
rifle.
A, as a club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the pistol though, because the pistol, you know, you see it in movies where they shoot him and they like, throw the pistol at him. Like, what's that
going
to
do? That's not going to do much good with the zombie.
You got to bash the brains. And so you need like a bat
like
type
a,
situation.
Something to bludgeon them with. Yeah. Yeah.
Also.
We should use that word more often. Bludgeon.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine the context, but yeah. Yeah. So I think if it's a rifle, yeah, definitely firearms. Other survivors, build a large group or keep in a very tight knit. Oh, so we run into other survivors.
Okay.
Are they rolling with us or we'd be like, nah, this is Country Squire Radio.
I think, oh, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is CSR, man. Like, we stick together. Like, I don't know. I think it'd have to be like, we'd have to vote them on the island kind of thing.
All right, so hear me out on this.
Okay.
We bring them in to the group. But then, like, we make sure they surround us as, like, a body perimeter, right? Like, and, like, you know, based on how things go, you know, like you got some folks that you're like, hey, we need to make sure that this person survives. But then there's another person like, hey, this person's really getting on my nerves, and the zombies are getting kind of close.
So we're going to put him on the perimeter.
Yeah. We just
well,
like,
and maybe, you know, maybe those are the people that can smoke the Black XX from Sam Gaywith and kind of keep the zombies away.
Keep the zombies away.
Right. They, like,
and then
if,
that way.
If they'd be disgusted of anything, they would be disgusted of that.
And that person still gets to live. So we're not terrible.
Right. No, exactly.
But we did make them smoke the
smoke,
Black XX.
Smoke that. Right. Yeah.
All right. Transportation. I'm going to keep going through all of these.
All right.
This is too good. Transportation. Heavy vehicle or small personal transport?
I think heavy vehicle. Yeah, something that can take a beating, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
something that's reliable can take a beating. Might move a little slower, but you know, you're gonna get to where you're going, and you know, it can, if a zombie tries to like crawl through the window, probably
yeah.
won't be able to bust through, that kind of thing.
Also, theoretically, it could go off-road, and
yeah.
that's probably what you want.
Yeah.
Because you might have
instead
to,
instead of like a Civic.
Yeah. You have to mow over them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm in minivan land now, you know. Like, you'll get there, but like,
yeah.
That's all I can picture. Scarier, fast zombies or slow zombies? I guess, like, which one would we definitely not want to face?
Oh, fast zombies.
Yeah, why would
yeah,
you?
Yeah, slow zombie, yeah, I can run from him.
We can live through that.
Yeah.
Man is the real monster or no? Of course, zombies are the real monsters.
No, of course, zombies are the real
yes,
monsters.
Yes,
right.
Yeah. sure.
The good Lord created Adam and Eve, and it was good.
And then they,
but
and then
when
everybody
the zombie
died,
was created, he wasn't happy.
Yeah,
right. That's death in is, there somewhere.
Death is final for a reason.
Right.
All right. Last smoke. Oh, this is great. Last smoke and perfect for tonight. Last smoke, aromatic or English?
Ooh.
Yeah. What would? All right. This is good.
Ooh.
What is the last pipe tobacco?
The last bowl you'll ever smoke.
Yeah,
in
man.
Your lot. Wow. Yeah. Final. Wow. Dang.
I know. All right. So while you're thinking about this, so my a couple years ago, my brother-in-law passed, which was just a huge
yeah,
tragedy.
Yeah, real right.
But months before that occurred, he actually went in for a surgery that we were very hopeful would, you know, cure the cancer that he, or you know, take out the cancer that was plaguing him. Unfortunately, it was unsuccessful. However, going into it, it was such a like dangerous surgery that
wow.
when we all got together,
yeah.
I cooked for him. It was one of two dishes. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was either a shrimp boil or Godfather spaghetti. I think it was Godfather spaghetti. And he ate that. And then after that, he had to fast for this surgery. And it hit
wow.
me as he was like, you know, going under and everything. I was, and we were talking about the fact that like, man, you know, he was ready, you know, he was very, you know, committed Christian and kind of ready for the faith.
Yeah. Emotionally. He was there.
He was praying. And actually when he woke up from the surgery, he was shocked that he was still alive. Like,
wow.
Like that's how serious the surgery was.
Wow.
And so I thought about it. And after the fact, I was like, you chose me to cook your last meal. Like, you know what I mean? Like what an honor.
Godfather spaghetti, man.
I think it was a good choice.
That's good.
What is the tobacco that you would choose as your last tobacco?
English.
But like, which English? That's such a... All right. Well,
see,
I mean,
that's the thing.
I guess he's opening
the
it
question,
up.
The question is aromatic or English. Now, if I'm defining English as a blend with Latakia, I'm going to go with English, or if to be honest,
no, that's good.
Even if I define English as just any non-aromatic tobacco, I'm going to go with English.
I feel like this could be its own show, honestly, unpacking like the last
Your last bowl. It's like the last rites of the pipe smoker.
So if we're taking this very broad options, then I'm probably going to go aromatic because that opens up more options. So it almost kind of gives me more time to think about it
before actually choosing. Yep.
But I'd want to enjoy it. And, you know, I mean, like, there's some Englishes out there that I enjoy, but, you know,
you're more of an aromatic smoker.
You know, and other aromatic smokers can relate with this. Like, when we're with, like, the hardcore, like, tobacco nerds.
Right.
You know, you're like, oh, yeah, English. Let me, of course I'm going to smoke that. Yeah. But then secretly behind the doors, like, all right, let me.
You got some of that, like, you know.
Give me that Panama Jack.
Chocolate covered cherry, you know, right. Tobacco, right.
No, if anything, you know, I'm a sucker for Treasure Island.
No, it's good stuff. It is good. Yep.
All right, man. Well, those are great.
Those
questions.
Are good questions, yeah.
Did we survive the zombie apocalypse? Y'all tell us.
I don't know.
I'd
be interested to know what our listeners, what their last smoke would be.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know what, if you're going to, you know, if you think you're getting close and, you know, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, what's, you know, you pick up your pipe, maybe that last time, what do you pull for? What in your cellar do you pull for?
That's good,
That's good stuff.
Let's put that out there. Let's see that in the next couple of weeks. Y'all let us know and we'll share that.
Yeah, I'd like to read some feedback on that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, man, of course, those quick fire questions coming into us. Again, a big shout out to Anonymous for sending those in. And big shout out to the Tin Society sponsoring this segment. Of course, tinsociety.com is the place to go to find an amazing online service. We're talking monthly tobaccos sent to your door every single month, as monthly implies, with various ranges of great premium tobacco so that you can expand your palate, figure out what you like. It's a great try before you buy in kind of this delightful surprise kind of way.
No, that's right. That's right. Each and every month, you get curated boxes of tobacco that come straight to your door. It's a variety of tobaccos. You get, with each sample, 3 to 4 smokes for each type. And so it gives you enough of a opportunity to see, is this something that I'm really going to enjoy? Let me smoke it a couple times and get some of the flavor complexities out of that. English blends, aromatics, Virginia Periques, Burley Forward blends, Orientals, just all over the map. These are, they're going to expose you through the Tin Society to tobaccos that you probably never would have bought otherwise, you know, and that's a really good opportunity for tobacco nerds and enthusiasts to learn more, expand their palate, and to find some new favorites.
You know, and I love it whenever some of y'all get boxes in from Tin Society. Y'all are opening up, taking a picture of what you got in, and man, we're happy to announce that coming on our YouTube channel here in the next couple of days and weeks is we'll actually have an unboxing video.
That's
for
right.
You.
Yeah,
I love unboxing videos. I'm a sucker for that kind of
open presents, even on video.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's great.
And this is the great thing. It's
like a Tin Society, you get one every month.
Every single month, you get a present from the good folks at the Tin Society. Of course, if you go to tinsociety.com and use the code SQUIRE, you get 20% off on your first month's service. So check it out. Again, that's tinsociety.com. Use the code SQUIRE for 20% off on your first month's service.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
All right, man. Listener feedback. We've got some great listener feedback in this week. All right. This first one is actually an iTunes review. What do we get from iTunes?
Yeah. Elvis City 1 on iTunes. He says, binge worthy. This show has officially changed my life.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
I don't know if we've gotten that one before.
Don't put that on us.
I know, right? I have to drop everything every Monday night to listen live. Entertaining and intellectual as a show as from Mississippi can be.
Well, that is
that's
fair.
That's probably fair. Yeah. Only thing that would make it better is if they would finally give the Dans what they want, barbecue pairings.
Yes.
So, the
fans.
The fans what they want. Yeah, yeah.
That's
you know,
a typo on this Dan right
on,
here.
On that Dan right there. Yeah, you know. I don't know. I'm still anti barbecue. It's at some point you're just really reaching. You know, you're like you're just trying so hard to get things. It's like what excuse can we have to eat delicious barbecue? And smoke our pipe and probably have a cold beer at the same time with our friends across the globe.
This needs to happen.
I don't know. You know, at some point we got to draw the line. Like this is a pipe smoking podcast. This is. I mean, really?
All right. Let me just put this out here.
All right.
All right.
I know this has been an ongoing thing.
In the coming months,
continue to vent. We probably need to go to therapy.
In the coming months. We probably should have said In the coming months, you're about to have this major, epic, monumental life occasion. Like getting married, that's in the past. You know, that was a whole thing, you know, whatever. Like you are about to move the country squire. Not nay 25 feet that direction. And this is going to be a seismic impact, not just to the local community, of course, who very well may never recover from this shock.
No, it's true.
Of knowing what their home looks like and that sense of home.
Yeah, another cave, right.
But the tobacco industry as a whole, in fact, internationally, the feeling of this huge, colossal, not 25 feet that way, is going to be felt on the opposite side of the globe. Would not the best way to beckon in this new era of the country squire be a barbecue out on the front of the shop, not 25 feet away from this very spot where we stand right now? And if you do that, people aren't going to know. They're going to be like, there's tobacco right there. There's barbecue right there. And tragically,
you'll be doing the pairing.
Well, they won't know because nobody has ever done a pairing. So what I'm saying is perhaps this could be a universally amazing opportunity.
A barbecue and tobacco pairing.
Live.
And live.
At the grand reopening of the country squire.
And we get to do that. Almost hoodwink people by bringing it in that way.
I'm there's no hoodwinking.
You don't think there's a hoodwink?
There are people. There are club members and yet not yet club members. There are folks from around the globe that have been looking for an excuse to make their pipe pilgrimage, and this could like be of the first to enter into the new promised land and be greeted with delicious barbecue and experience the pairing that you have been longing for this entire couple of years. Oh man, I'm almost crying. I am almost brought to tears. You must make this happen.
I know some good therapists. We'll get there.
Oh, well, man.
What's your schedule like next week on Tuesday? Right.
I've already seen my.
We need to go in for right. Me too. Right. Yeah. We need to go in for couples counseling or something.
All right, man. We also got a email in or a message. This actually might have been from YouTube. It comes in from Doug Owen, and this is specifically based on the McClellan discussion that we.
Yeah,
had.
Yeah. On the McClellan discussion, of course, Doug, a longtime listener to the show, and man, great. Great friend, we've heard from him before. On the McClellan discussion, keep in mind the prices on those tins are at least partially a result of the level of local taxes that were levied on those tins in the state where the retailer originally purchased the tins at wholesale. In our situation, remember Doug, he's actually a tobacconist himself. In our situation, due to the 45% tax on the wholesale price of tin tobaccos, the MSRP in the state of Washington is around $35, which clearly put us at a disadvantage in terms of competing for the business against retailers from states with lower taxes. So true. Just a thought, you should know that we were attempting to sell at our current MSRP, which due to the draconian tax setup in the state put us at a fatal disadvantage.
Oof, yeah.
And that's from Doug. You know, it's interesting. You know, you've got, of course, so many of us are involved in these online forums related to pipe smoking and the pipe community, tobacco community. And there will always be that guy, that saintly person. Of course, this is coming from a brick and mortar retailer, but that saintly person that's like, y'all be sure to support your brick and mortar tobacconist. And then you have these trolls, which I'm just going to go ahead and call trolls, that will get on there and say, well, you know, they charge, $3, $4, $5 more for the tobacco, and in some cases, you know, like this, as Doug mentions, more than that. And so it's good, and I'm glad Doug mentions this. That is not due to a decision made by the local tobacconist. That is due to your state. Government, your state legislature making decisions based on, you know, tobacco products and taxes. And so, you know, in some states, now it's funny, in Mississippi, we have a system where as soon as the tobacco product comes in my door, so I purchase it wholesale, it's delivered by UPS, the clock starts ticking, I've got 48 hours to pay 15% sales tax, or I'm sorry, excise tax on that tobacco. So there's basically a sin tax of 15% on that tobacco that I have to pay, and then I build the I build that 15% into the price of the product.
Right.
Now, in other states, so for instance, well,
And remember, in Mississippi, too, like our governor for the longest time was actually a former tobacco
lobbyist. Yeah. So we live in a generally tobacco-friendly state. Now, you go to other states. I was just in Illinois for the Chicago show. Went to Ewan Reese. Awesome. We talked about that. Now in Ewan Reese, you walk in and you see a tin of Dunhill lying on the shelf. The tin of Dunhill, the price, it says, you know, $10 and whatever. But what they're not telling you is that when you check out, when you take that can of Dunhill to the register and you check out, you have to add 36% tax to that at the time of purchase. So in their state and in so many other states, you're actually taxed at the time of purchase rather than when the retailer procures it. And so, you know, in my case, I have to build the price into the price of the tax into the price of the product. In Illinois, they get taxed when they sell the product. So in other words, that $10 Dunhill nightcap,
right.
You know, you immediately, when you go to the register, you add 36% to that. And so, and then you add sales tax on top of that. Okay. And so it's a very different system. Keep in mind when you're trying to support your local brick and mortar retailers, that's what they're up against. Okay. You know, you go in there and you're like, man, the sticker says $10 for a can of early morning pipe. But I walk out of here paying $25 for it. Like, what the heck? Well, just know that's what's going on. And, you know, feel free to ask your local tobacconist if they're worth their salt. They'll be glad to discuss that with you and tell you why they're at a disadvantage and probably bend over backwards to you know, do anything they can to encourage you to have a good time at their shop. And so I know Doug feels that way. It's a tough spot for retailers in their states dealing with different tobacco laws, but that's kind of where we're at.
It is crazy. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, it's something I wasn't aware of until starting this show and then traveling around and being, oh, hey, I'm Bo from Country Squire Radio, and then hearing the stories from various, like, tobacco shop owners. Like, it's like, oh, what do y'all blend here? Like, oh, we can't blend here. Like, wait, what? And like, no,
right.
Like, legally,
no,
like,
right.
In our state, we can't do that. And I was like,
that's
oh.
Right.
And I mean, like, you know, for the second time tonight, I'll make the comparison, but it is a lot like our friends over in the alcohol industry in terms of, like, what you can and cannot do in various states.
That's
and
right.
What taxes exist.
Yeah.
Like, I would love, you know, we talked about, you know, of course, Tent Society earlier. And, you know, there's other services like that and like whiskey and wine. And I've wanted to sign up for those types of services, but you can't have liquor or wine, alcohol, like, shipped
into
in
the state of Mississippi. We're one
so
of like two states that cannot, you know, it is illegal for a resident of Mississippi to subscribe to a wine subscription club or whatever,
right,
where you get,
right.
You know, two bottles a month or whatever. That we legally can't do that here.
It's
right?
Ridiculous.
So, same thing, Washington State, you cannot order tobacco from out of state to come into your state. So, you know, just as you go into these brick and mortar tobacconists and you see the prices, we're fortunate enough in Mississippi we can be a little more competitive.
Right.
You know,
in Mississippi, we got a little bit better for tobacco than we do alcohol.
It's the reverse. It's really interesting, you know, but just keep that in mind. It's one of those things that you know, your local B&M is struggling with every day.
Yeah. Man, great feedback, great questions.
Real good.
Well.
Yeah.
And so, hey, if y'all have got some listener feedback for us, you would love getting those in, especially those iTunes reviews. Head over to iTunes, write us a review. It's a great way to support the show. And of course, if you are willing to spend a few dollars to help support the show, we'd love for you to become a club member, patreon.com/countrysquireradio. Also, you can find links to that at countrysquireradio.com. You can also, you know, keep up with us throughout the week from time to time. You can follow us on the Twitters. I'm at @TheRealBoYork.
I'm at @JohnDavidCole, or you can get us at the shop @_CountrySquire.
And of course, the show's handle is @SquireRadio, but you can find all that information and more at CountrySquireRadio.com, where typically you can join us for the live show on Monday nights at 8:30 Central. That's 6:30 Pacific and 9:30 Eastern. However, next week, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we won't have a live podcast. However, we will have the actual podcast coming your way. So if you're somebody
That's
who
right.
just watches us on the live show, or you're somebody that just tunes in for YouTube, this is a great chance for you to check out the podcast. Trust me, it's professionally produced. There's actually audio bumps, so there's this weird awkward pause before between transitions doesn't happen in the podcast.
Like, I know, right? I feel like the folks that, you know, just listen to the just watch the live show or watch us on YouTube, they're kind of missing out on the some of the some of the fun little stuff that we insert in there.
Yeah, you know? Can I talk about this real quick since we're like at the very tail end here?
Yeah.
Okay. We talked about the Reddit situation on a previous episode.
Yep.
And of course, we love our good folks, our good friends at the R Pipe Tobacco and the Reddit community there, and great feedback from that show. But it was interesting because some folks that were not familiar with us that watched it, I sent a lot of criticism our way in terms of like the production quality of the YouTube video. But of course, you know, we got loyalists. We got a lot of great listeners that are on Reddit, and they're like, yeah, they're actually a podcast. They just do this as like a kind of a special benefit,
kind of an add-on. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like this is a little icing. It's not the thing. It's like a bonus to the thing. But they were like really railing on it, and like I'm sitting here like chroming through this, and like of course, again, you know, our listeners, those of you on the Reddit forum, you know, y'all were like representing hard, and I appreciate that. But then every single negative bit I read was always what kind of cut me, and I'm like, I'm not a video guy.
I know, right? I'm not. We have faces for radio.
I know.
Yeah, and we stick to that.
We love those of y'all that tune in. But it was kind of funny to me.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Shouts out to the Reddit community and again those of you who are representing us well over there. Yeah, man. Good show tonight.
Yeah, man. I had fun. I have been smoking Latakia more often. I still would not say I'm an English blend smoker. You know, it's in my rotation, but at a very small percentage. But man, I have been enjoying it more frequently, and that's I don't know. It's been kind of fun. I've been rediscovering and revisiting some blends I haven't smoked in years. So I don't know. Maybe we've got more English blends in the future.
Well, admittedly, good chap, I do appear that I am very terribly sorry, but I fear that I should have worn a top hat and a monocle for this particular discussion. Of course, this particular tobacco, which I've been very, very sorry about, but it's English, and, well, I feel like I failed you and failed the listeners alike.
Let's go have a night.
Let's go have a night!
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.